Saying Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I'm amazed how the Lord works sometimes, and that song that we sang is so fitting. It's a wonderful springboard for the message I have this morning. I am resolved no longer to linger. You see, this is the time of the year you give a little longer here in the season yet. Another day. 37 and a quarter more hours. And we know what happens. People stay up to watch that day. They stay up to witness that because it changes from 2018 to 2019. Remember as a young boy when the Y2K came in? I was at an age where I wasn't sure what to expect at that time. There's enough people had fear in their life because of it. I'm thankful I had made my life right with the Lord. If He would have chose that time to draw the line and call us home, I'd have been faithful. 37 and a quarter hours from here, we change time again. We go to the next year on our calendar that we have today. That calendar is man-made. God placed the order in the seasons. Man has placed a calendar with it. With that new year, remember some of my cousins talking about the resolutions that people would make. And some of my cousins would make resolutions. We're going to lose weight this next year. We're going to do something. We're going to spend more time with family. We're going to go on a vacation. They make a resolution. If you do the studies, a lot of people that make resolutions on New Year's Day don't hold true to them. They can hold out for a while, but then it starts to wear out and they start to fall away. I am resolved. Did you hear the spiritual resolution you made this morning when you sang that song? I am resolved. No longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. I trust that's our testimony this morning. Well, we say we have approximately 37 and a quarter more hours till that time change. We said it's man-made. The calendar system's man-made. God placed the world in orbit. He placed everything to happen orderly. Man has placed a time, a calendar with it. Those of you that have status, I'd like to repost this afternoon something that I have seen in the past, and I'm sure you have too, but a message that comes on with time. God gives you time to use today. We don't know when that end of time is going to be. But the seconds are ticking by. You can't go back and recall January of 2018. You can't go back and recall February. You can't even recall back yesterday. It's history. You can't recall back the start of this service because it's past, it's history. We have today that we are working with, and we need to approach life with that consciousness. What use are we making of this time that I have today? How am I treating it? How well am I doing with it? I've titled the message this morning, True to My Resolutions. True to My Resolutions. I don't want to, in giving it that title, I don't want to go into what I'm going to be speaking about this morning and preaching about this morning and give it a lighthearted commitment that we did. Because we have made commitments in our life. Those of us that have named the name of Christ, we've made commitments. How are we doing in it? I think it's a good time for us to look back in our life. How have I done in the history, in the past of my life? Just a few characters in the Bible. We won't turn to them. I have them here in my notes. Characters that have made resolution in the Bible times. Genesis 28, 22. This stone which I have set up, Jacob speaking, he's making a resolution. This stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou wilt give me, I will surely give a tenth of it unto thee. A commitment to give. He made a resolution there. Jacob did. Psalm 119. I'm going to take time to read to that. Turn to that. Psalm 119. I didn't write this into my notes. I thought I did, but I have a number of verses here I'd like to look at. We know David is making a resolution here. It's one that we need today as well. It's so full of it in here, different resolutions that he made. But in verse 15 and 16, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statute. I will not forget thy word. Verse 32, I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. And it goes on. David is making a commitment. I will. I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell kings. I'm going to tell people of you. I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to open your word and read it. David making resolutions. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This word purposed has the same meaning as our resolution today. Daniel made a resolution in his heart that I'm not going to defile myself with the portion of the king's meat. What's offered to idols, I'm going to stay free of it. Do we have that commitment and purpose today? God has entered into the resolution, the commitment. What we're going to talk about this morning, what we're going to preach on this morning, is some commitments that we have made today. I don't know why this came to me now. I want to back up. There was something I wanted to share at the start of the service. As we thought of time, we were out there at my niece's wedding. There's something I saw at that Bethel church that I remember seeing when I was a little boy. And on up through, I don't know how long it's been there, but on their clock they had the words, inside under the face of it in the clock, take time to be holy. And that's kind of started the springboard maybe for this message here. But are we taking the time to be holy? Little side note into that time and how it's fleeting. Time is going on. But our commitments that we have made today, going back to that, today we have made commitments. We have commitments we made to God. And I'm thinking about two of them. And you can maybe put more there than what I have and what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at the commitment you made when you were baptized. Your baptismal commitment. And I know the next one does, the other commitment that we are going to talk about this morning might not apply to everybody. That is the commitment when you made your marriage vows. Resolutions that we made, commitments we made. Now, I challenge about using resolutions in that because so many people break resolution. It's more than that. What we made to in our lives to God is more than that. It is a vow, a commitment. Deuteronomy 23, verse 21 says, "When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee." You can see when you fall away from that vow that you've made to God, He's saying it'll be sin in your life. If you're not true to that vow, you're playing with fire, you're in sin. You start living in sin. Ecclesiastes 5:4, and there's more verses. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools." Pay that thou hast vowed. Give what you have vowed to God. Do it. Hebrews 8:10. We have God entering into a vow is something that man does one-on-one with God. Or one-on-one, he just vows a vow. He's going to do it. Now God has made a covenant with man. He had entered into a covenant relationship. It's two people agreeing to do something. He says this in Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." God's going to fill His part of that. He's going to put His law there. It's there. It's there for them to glean. "Write it upon their hearts, and I will be to them a God." You look in the Old Testament time, that covenant was bound with people giving something. Whether it was a blood sacrifice, or you could look at David and Jonathan as Jonathan gave David when he made that covenant with him. And he gave him his bow, he gave him his arrows and things that he had. Because they're entering into a covenant relationship. Today, we've moved to the new covenant. We've moved to the new covenant. Matthew 26:28 says this, "And this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins." The New Testament, the new covenant. This is where it is. God sent Jesus and He gave His blood to enter into that covenant relationship. Jeremiah 31:31 speaks, looking forward to that day. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And that's in Jesus. Jesus came and filled that covenant relationship. All right, I've got 7 points for the message this morning. Commitments we have made in life. I trust everyone here under the sound of my preaching has made the most important commitment in their life. If you haven't applied Jesus' blood to your heart, if you haven't been cleansed by Jesus' blood, do it before it's too late. Enter into this covenant relationship. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not a walk in the park. It's not something that you lightheartedly make that commitment and you walk through life and life is so joyous after that. There's blessings in life, yes, there is. Living the Christian life has many blessings. I'm here to tell you this morning, a statement that I heard this past week. Every commitment we make will be tried. Think of it in your life. Every commitment you make or we make will be tried. Why? Because when you make a commitment, it's like taking a hammer and pounding a stake in somewhere and say, this is where we're standing. It's a point for the battle to rage. But it's possible. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In the Christian life, it is possible to be victorious. It's possible to be victorious through it all. As you put down that stake and say, I'm standing for God. Satan is the weaker vessel in that. He has no, if we stay close to God, he has no power to overthrow us. All right. So I trust we've made the commitment to serve God. Another commitment we've made is the baptism. We enter into that covenant relationship with God. And marriage is the other one that we'd like to look at this morning. The commitments we've made in marriage. So the question is, how am I keeping the commitments I've made? And I have these 7 points. How am I keeping the commitments that I have made to God? I'm going to take the time to read your baptismal vows. We hear them at every baptism, but it's something that I believe we do well to ponder and think on. First question, do you believe in one eternal, one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things? Second one, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that he is the only Savior of mankind, that he died on the cross and gave himself a ransom for our sins, that through him we might have eternal life? The third one, do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceedeth from the Father and the Son, that he is the abiding Comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth? The first three that we look at and ask the class, do you believe? To narrow it down, do you believe in the Father? Do you believe in the Son? And do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Do you believe in Him? You see, it's foundational for your belief in Jesus. And for your salvation. It's foundational. The fourth one. Are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all works of darkness in your own carnal will and sinful desires? Are you willing to let self go? 5. Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ and His Word and faithfully to abide in the same until death? Are you committed to follow God through life, no matter where He leads you, submitting to Him? I'm going to break the first 5 points down into those first 5 baptismal vows. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. First point I have is we will believe God. We will believe God. The commitments I have made, we will believe God. Isaiah 40, verse 9. I think we're going to take time to read a good bit of this passage. There's so much in this passage. Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, be your God, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Behold your God, he's leading you as he's leading the young. Who hath measured the water, verse 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of God, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God? If he's that big, if he holds the world, these things that we have so much out of our control, if he holds it all, what are you going to liken God to? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman strives, melts a graven image. Verse 21, have ye not heard, known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. And it goes on there. God, who he is, how big he is. Do you believe the God you're serving? Do you believe he is the one that has created the world back in Genesis chapter 1? Do you believe he was from everlasting to everlasting? He was before the creation, with no time to place to him. Do you believe in a God like that? From these verses, do you believe that he is still keeping, preserving mankind, preserving the world? Today, along with that, do you believe that he has it in his control and he is going to tell when time's going to stop? When time will be no more. Do you believe in a God like that? Do you believe you are serving a God like that, as you have made the commitment to in your baptismal vows? Do you believe he is a God that can see you today where you're sitting? From Isaiah 40 here, we can look at it and we can say he sees everything. He sees even the things that man can't see. Brothers and sisters, I can't see into your life. I can't see what life you're living. I can just see the fruit that comes from it. But God can see it. You believe in a God that can see even the smallest detail of your life. He knows what is going on. He knows where you're at. And he holds the world in his hand. And he's going to someday stop time. And there's going to be another eternity. In your baptismal vows, you said, I do. I believe. I believe there's a God like that. The second one. Do you believe in the plan of salvation? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that plan of salvation? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that Jesus came and died on a tree, on a cross, that he went to Golgotha there and gave of his life? He gave his blood to fulfill that plan of salvation, the new covenant. He filled that new covenant. Do you believe that he did that for you and for me? Do you believe with that plan of salvation is strong enough to wash your sins away and my sins away? You must believe in it. If you don't believe in it, you're going to be weak and helpless and attacked against Satan. You need that stake driven down. I believe that Jesus' blood was there and it covered my sins. I'm washed clean. Satan has no power. When you drive a stake down and say, I'm believing in Jesus and his power to save me from my past sins. I've confessed them. They're forsaken. They're gone. We're moving on. The third one. Commitments we have made. Resolutions. We will believe in the Holy Ghost. We will believe in the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to John. John chapter 14. John talks much about this. And the Holy Ghost. Jesus' words here. John chapter 14. Let's read verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He goes on to say about the peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Turn with me to John 15, verse 26. Again, talking about that Comforter. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And also in chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's expedient that I go back to heaven. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceedeth from the Father and the Son, that he is the abiding Comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth? And you said, I do. That commitment that you believe that the Holy Ghost is working in your life, leading you through life into truth and in right living with God. Do you believe that he is with you daily? The Holy Ghost is with you daily, dwelling in your lives. For those that have a cleansed heart, it's where he needs to dwell, is in a cleansed heart. One that's been washed by Jesus' blood. One that's striving to serve God. One that's overcoming in this life. In other words, gaining ground. They put the stake down and they're going in the right direction. They're going in service to God. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost that he is guiding you into all truth, leading you through life? The Holy Ghost speaks through God's Word. Are you listening to it? Are you letting it lead you through life? The fourth one. Are you truly sorry for your past sins? Do you believe that you are truly sorry? I didn't put we believe. That we are truly sorry is the fourth point. That we are truly sorry. A commitment we have made. That we are truly sorry for our past sins. I don't know what's in your past. I don't know where you were in your past. I know where I have been. And I know that I needed Jesus' blood to cleanse me from that. I needed to first of all feel sorry for them. That I did them and partook of them. You see, if we're truly sorry for our past sins, there will be no strings attached to them. They will be totally let go. We'll be striving to overcome them. Not wanting to indulge in them anymore. But Satan knows that peg that we put down. He knows where that is. And he strives hard to trip you up there. Willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness. The world and all the works of darkness. The world is full of darkness. Many things that are demanding your attention. Many things that are demanding to be your God and take the place of God in your life. They're striving for something different than what the child of God is, the world is. Well, this takes what it says in the last part of that question. And your own carnal will and sinful desires. You see, it needs to start in the heart. Our sinful desires need to be crucified. The old man who I was before needs to be dealt with and crucified. Are you truly sorry? Truly sorry. Turn with me to Philippians 3. I'd like to pull a passage out of there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul is speaking here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God reveal even this unto him. Where is your mind taking you? Where is your goal in life? Am I that stake of my old past sins? Am I sorry for them? Don't matter whether it was at your baptismal time. Or whether it's been a sin since your baptism. Are you sorry for your past sins? You see, you drive that stake down of being sorry for your sins. And Satan's going to bring that battleground to that stake. Keep to your commitment. Sorry for your past sins. The fifth one. Follow God, the commitment to follow God and His Word. To submit yourself to God. I can't think of that other than you take the picture. You know, your Bible readers know the picture of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac laid on that altar there, submissive to his dad. Can we lay ourselves today on the altar of God? Be submissive to Him and to His Word. His Word is God's Word to us, and it is speaking to us and should be changing our lives. But is there ever an area in your life where you don't want to think about it? Maybe it's forgiveness. For someone that has wronged us. Maybe it's the loving of your enemies. Well, you might say, no, I don't have many enemies. I don't. But can you look everybody in the eye with an open face? Knowing there's nothing standing between you and them. God's word calls us to forgive, to love our enemies. He also calls us to go the second mile when someone would wrong us. His word speaks in many ways, and that's, we don't have time to go into to real deep in that, but you ponder it. Where God has called you in His word to live for Him, to follow His God and His word, submit yourself to Christ and to His word. How's your resolution holding out? Are we submitted to His word daily? The sixth one. For those of you that are still single, don't shut it off. Don't shut me off because I'm going to marriage vows. Because if the Lord would ever bring you to this, it'd be something you might need to know. A commitment you're going to make. If the Lord doesn't call you to that, there's some commitments, and the points I have here out of this, out of your marriage, the marriage vows that people make, apply to you today. Ephesians 5 talks about how Christ loved the church and gave Himself, and that's how we're called to love today, our fellow brethren and sisters in the church. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Now take the time quick to read through your baptismal or your marriage vows to both of them. Do you believe that matrimony is an ordinance instituted of God and confirmed and sanctioned by Jesus Christ, and that you must therefore enter upon it in the fear of God? In other words, God made marriage. He created it. You're going to follow God's plan. He then asks the bridegroom, do you confess and declare that you are married and free from all other marriage relations and engagements whatsoever? And he does the same when he turns to the bride. Free from a time before in your life when you would have made a commitment and weren't faithful to it. But I like to think of the last two, especially. To the bridegroom, will you in the presence of God and these witnesses take the sister by your side to be your wedded wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and sickness, in prosperity and adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her, and live with her in peace as becometh a faithful Christian husband, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live? To the bride, will you in the presence of God and these witnesses take the brother by your side to be your wedded husband? Will you love and cherish him in health and in sickness, in prosperity and in adversity? Share with him the joys and sorrows of life. Exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward him. And live with him in peace as becometh a faithful Christian wife. And forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto him as long as you both shall live. What would make a young man and a young woman make a commitment like that to each other? We just witnessed it on Friday. I think it is found a lot in that first verse. The love and cherish. Love and cherish. There's a desire that God has placed within human beings for companionship, for that love that can flow between human beings. But both of those last commitments that you make to one another at your wedding vows, self has to go. It's a commitment you make. It's a vow you make to God. This love, again, I'm going to take something I had in my devotionals this past week, and I had placed it on my status. It says this way, unconditional love is not an, if you do this, I'll do that kind of love. It is, and I'll do this regardless of what you do kind of love. Brothers and sisters, we need that agape love that's like that. In the brotherhood in the church, you need it in your marriage relationships. It's not conditional. When you pledge those commitments on your wedding day, when you take God's word and apply it to your life, even as a single, you're called to love one another with that kind of love. But look at it. There's scripture verses that put that agape love in there into your brothers and sisters in the church. Unconditional love. Sixth point I have. Will you love and cherish her? Commitment you have made to love and cherish her. We pledge our lives for better or for worse. Whether the times are tough or whether they're times of ease, whether they're times when the feelings are there of love or whether they're not. Agape love is a choice that you make. In other words, we are saying, I will love you even when, and you put there. I'll love you even if. You do whatever. No, it doesn't overlook sin in a life. But it is a choice to love even when they're unlovely. It's a stake that you put down in your marriage that needs to be there. There's many things that will work against that in your marriage. Communication. Maybe it's a failure in your life. Maybe it's the headship order that's not in the right proper place. And God's headship order is not in place in the home. Read Ephesians chapter 5 sometime. I like to read, though, the last part of it. At this time, verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Isn't talking about marriage yet. Needs to be in the church, submission one to another. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Headship order there. Taking place as God would have it to. Husband's ahead. The wife is the one following and submitting. Not as lords, but leading out as God would have you to. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Will you love and cherish her as God has commanded you to do? How did Christ love the church? Sacrificial. He gave His Son. Jesus came. Christ loved the church, and He came and gave His life on the cross. Gave up of self. When we make those commitments, the only way that stake in that marriage, and we can maintain a strong marriage in 2019 and the rest of 2018, is to have this in order. And that is to crucify self and to do give love as you're commanded to. Your marriage can be enjoyable. Crucify self. A marriage that is working together has no room for self in it. No, we seek to please the other. On my desk in my study, there is a... My wife likes to do planners. Most of you probably know what those are. Planners where you can write down whatever you're planning on doing in the future. And you can plan on what you can also space in there, you can write down what happened in that day as you went through it. There's a planner laying there beside my desk. I was looking for a calendar because I was thinking about showing you a calendar this morning, and just a visual to remember that days are flying by and the year will go by. 365 days and it's gone. I picked up that planner. And started leafing through it. March 17 of 2012. There's a thing wrote in that planner. We were in Virginia that day. March 17 of 2012. We were in Virginia that day. And we saw two people tie the knot for life. You tie that knot without knowing where it's going to lead you. My wife's cousin, Glendon, you may remember from prayer requests of the time when his wife had cancer. Remember 2 years ago Christmas? I believe it was 2 years ago Christmas. She was there at the Christmas gathering and she was white. Very, very white. Everybody looked at her and says, "What's wrong?" Nobody knew. They went home, I believe a week later, is when she had spiked a fever, and they went into the doctor. They found out there's cancer. I asked my wife this morning, how long was it? When did she die? And we didn't take the time to go back and look. We believe it was in May. Sometime in this past May. Passed away. You don't know when you tie that knot with your wife how long you have to love. But I've heard statements since that this man has a hard time understanding why someone would go through life with marriage problems. Why would you do it? His time with his wife was short. He wishes he could have more time. They went through things at the last part of his wife's life that I believe would test any marriage. But they held together. Agape love. You can have it in your marriage today. Are you giving your part into it? Don't go through a day. Don't go through life just putting up with each other. You made the commitment. You made the stake that you're going to love and cherish them. The seventh commitment. Last part of those commitments you made to your wife. Commitment to be someone they can trust. Forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto him, or only unto her, as long as you both shall live. Confidence in each other. You've committed to having confidence in each other. But I'm amazed as you think of trust. You know, how does trust work? Now, this is my evaluation of how trust works, and you might have another way of putting it, and you might be able to correct me a little bit, but this is what I put. You know, you think about trust. You go to meet somebody you don't even know, and immediately when you meet them, you evaluate them and their life by what you see. The way they're dressed, the way their hair combed, the way they present themselves. You evaluate them. Immediately at that time in your life, you start to put some trust there. Or else their appearance and everything kind of pulls that trust back. By your evaluation. Think with me. About the person you meet that's really, really rough looking. We say, well, they're really rough looking. First impression, maybe you start not putting much trust in them. Have you ever met anybody that later on you find out there's a gem underneath there? There's someone you can trust. Think of our neighbor man down at Phillips Creek when we lived there. My wife would have shared stories about when they grew up, they just weren't sure what to feel or weren't too sure about the neighbor there. How much trust you put in him. You lock things up when you leave. You know, we lived there for a while, and pretty soon I trusted him to watch over our place. He was very sure of what happened over there. And I think he would have made sure something didn't happen. Trust. A little more rough type of character, but I learned to put some trust in him. Maybe later they have good morals and you find that you can put that trust. But then later on, you give them responsibility. You think of your children maybe. You give them responsibility and you find out that you can trust them. Because they did what they were asked to do. And the trust keeps growing one step at a time. Why do I bring that? How trust grows? Trust can be ruined just like that. Just like that. In an instant, trust can be ruined. That trust that you've built up can be ruined. There's a scar there. But you can build it back up. But you'll never take care of the scar that was placed there. It'll carry that scar for life. But it can be rebuilt. Satan would like to take that stake, that commitment you've made to be faithful and to be true and to be someone that can be trusted, and destroy it. It's an avenue that he can get in the marriage and destroy it. So this morning, as we look at these commitments that we've made, the question comes, am I staying true to my resolutions that I've made, the vows I've made? Or is there things in my life that I need to work on more? Do I need to go back and patch up where the relationship wasn't as it ought to have been? Is there places where I've left that stake slide? I trust that we are willing in 2019 be who God wants us to be. Plant them stakes down more firmly in the rest of 2018 and into the future. However long God gives, whether it's one day or 1 year or 2 years or more. Be who God would have you to be. Let us kneel for prayer.